The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Claymology, with host Matthew Vanderford.
All right, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It's time for Claymology with our host Matthew Vanderford. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing well. I always like to say that whenever I do this show, it's sort of a change of pace for me during the week, and I really do genuinely enjoy doing this show. So it's been a good week.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. Yeah, it's great to be on and great to be out. I first heard of the Pensacola Expert Panel just driving in my car one day, just flipping through, going through the radio, and I heard someone speaking. It was an attorney talking about insurance. And I was like, wow, you know what? What a great thing to have people out there just talking and educating the community about stuff that's really important. But most people don't like to talk about law. Most people don't like to talk about insurance. So we're hopefully going to try to make it a little fun, a little adventurous. I promised Ruthie before the beginning of the year we were going to do a little different show this year using the magic eight ball to help answer questions.
Okay,
so
I like that.
So if anybody has a question, tell us the number to call in. Tell them the number to call in.
437-1620. You can call or text that number.
So if you get anyone out there has a question, and it doesn't have to be insurance related, but the promise is we're going to tie it into insurance, and the reason why insurance like rules all. So it's very important. So if you have a question about like, should I go on this date with this person, call in, ask us, and we'll tie it into insurance. But anyways, so the number to call or text in is 850-437-1620, and I'm Matthew Vanderford from Claymology. We're an insurance adjusting schoolhouse where we practice the art, science, and application of fair insurance claim settlements. And that's just a big, long way to tell people that we are advocates for the insured. We are here to help the community understand what they don't know. And to coin a phrase from a gentleman, great guy, Jason Hall, he's got it imprinted on his bumper sticker, you don't know what you don't know, right? This, you don't know what you don't know. Most people don't know their insurance policies. Most people don't know anything about insurance. It's probably one of the really, really sad things in economics for human beings is they're required to have insurance on homes that they own, that they have a mortgage on. And people with businesses, in order to get loans, are typically required to have certain types of insurance. Now, business people, they get a little more of a pass because they're assumed to be in business, so they are assumed to know more. But that's not true at all, because they're still just a person. You're just running your own business, so you would hope that you would know more. But ask that person what their insurance policy actually covers them for, and they're like, yeah, I got to talk to my agent, or I thought I had this. You'd be surprised how many business people I come in contact with that are totally uninsured. So just because you own a business doesn't mean you know what you're supposed to know. I mean, listen, I'm in the business of public adjusting, but I still have to learn every single day about what it means to actually run a business, right? So in the sense of people being in business, you have to understand that you don't know what you don't know. And when we start asking questions, more questions the better. And I would encourage absolutely everyone out there to go out, take a look at your policy, call your agent up and ask them to tell you what you have, ask them to educate you on your policy because they should be the front lines. Ask them to take the time, and if they don't have the time, you might want to find a different agent. I mean, that's just the rules. That's the way I think, because number one, I'm not trying to dismiss any agent out there from not taking the time to talk to insured people, but that's your job as an agent. Your agent is to educate the insured on what they are purchasing. You are an agent of the transaction of a good faith policy. You are acting as an insurance agent, someone who is actually taking money from someone and passing it on to a corporation who may or may not have their best interests in mind. So it would behoove agents to really understand the insurance companies they serve, the policies that are getting changed all the time. I used to teach continuing education courses for adjusters and agents up in Philadelphia. And I would ask a simple question, and I would get 50 people, like 50-50 split. If there's a group of 20 people, I'd get 10 that would say one thing and 10 that would say the same thing, on the opposite, on the same question. And why is that? Because of their interpretation. Now, agents aren't allowed to interpret policy. That's not something that they're taught to do. It's not something that they're pushed to do. They're actually discouraged from interpreting policy, and that's why you have such a disconnect between the agent and the purchaser relationship now. It's becoming just more automatic. And I mean, listen, I I've had a great insurance carrier for a very long time, but if I didn't ask the right questions, they would have just told me the coverages that I had. Like, take, for example, your auto insurance. You get a 25, 50, or 25, 10, 20, whatever it is, and you get these limits, and people are like, that's fine, I'll take it. Well, what does that really mean? Ask the person selling you the policy, what does that really mean? Break it down for them. If I get into an accident, what happens to me? Oh, am I really exposed? Most people are going to be more exposed than what they think.
So I actually have a question, and maybe we can use the eight ball on this. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. So I have renter's insurance. I rent, and I'll be moving out in 3 months where I'm going to be renting another place. But we have begun the process of, we've been approved. We're going to sign the lease. All that's good stuff. We have renter's insurance, and we have a dog who, while still in his puppy stage, decided to chew up some of the baseboards. Does renter's insurance cover that, or do I have to take care of that on my own?
Well, should we ask the magic eight ball?
Let's go ahead and ask
Let's
the magic eight ball.
So the magic eight ball. The magic eight ball question is, should his insurance cover, should his renter's insurance cover the accident done by his dog chewing the baseboards? Does it cover it? Magic eight ball. What do we say? What say ye, magic eight ball? Does the insurance policy cover accidental damage done by a dog to the landlord's property? It says without a doubt.
Without a doubt?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yes or no? Without a doubt yes, or without a doubt no? We have to ask further. That's like asking, that's the power of the magic eight ball. It makes you ask more questions. Because right now I'll give you an answer, but it says without a doubt. So is it without a doubt yes, or without a doubt no? That's the first question, the line of defense of your insurance policy. What does the language say? So without me actually reading your policy, and I'm not trying to blow you off, this is a true thing. Without me actually reading your policy, I would have to take a look at that and see. Now, I can say for renter's insurance, typically it's not going to be covered. Why? Because your renter's insurance is covering things that you own specifically. They're covering your items. Doesn't mean that there's not some crazy policy with some crazy writer out there that actually covers it. There may be. I haven't seen that. So, but typically, your particular renter's insurance won't cover that. That's going to fall under your landlord's policy. That's their homeowner's, or the dwelling policy, or wherever you're staying at. So let's say you're renting a home, you're renting a property, your condo, and your dog does damage to it and you leave. Well, depending upon what their policy states, that might be covered. So, but typically under your renter's insurance, no, that would not be covered. But you'd need to take a look at the full policy and see if you have some type of language in there that might allow for coverage. Because okay, if that's the case, and if the damage is great enough, then you want to file a claim.
It's damaged enough to where I know I should replace it before I leave.
Oh, well,
that's
then,
how I feel.
Yeah, well, then definitely replace it.
I don't want the landlord seeing that and think I'm giving him a bad review next time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So regardless of coverage, you definitely want to make sure it's taken care of.
Yes,
yeah,
that's how I feel. This was a topic of conversation yesterday for a while.
Okay. Well, I hope we've enlightened other people too about renter's insurance, because people do rent. Renter's insurance is extremely important. I would encourage anyone renting a property out there, if they don't have it, go get it. You need it. It's really, really helpful, because you spend your money. Like, your money represents your time, right? The value of your time. So you're spending some aspect of the value of your time on goods that you enjoy. Why wouldn't you insure it in the event of a hurricane? Oh my God, people keep talking about hurricane season already. I'm like, no, it's not hurricane season yet. Please don't talk about this. Oh my God, like, I don't even know what language we stopped on last time. I think we're in Swahili now. I think they're done with the Greek alphabet. We're now into Swahili, moving into like characters. It's crazy. It's nuts. So I really want to slow the roll on hurricane season this year, especially for all the good people around here, citizens. I mean, people as human beings, we could use a little break. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not such a bad thing to have a break for a while. We've been on a roll for a minute. But if the nature still has to happen, may it happen in areas that are really just, and if it does happen, minimal damage. No loss of life, no loss of anything like that. All goods that can be replaced. That's what we're hoping for. Yes. And let the hurricane lesson, let it be a lesson for us to be prepared, because we know events are going to happen. We can't stop Mother Nature, right? We're not going to stop it. You can't stop a volcano in Hawaii. That's the actual island of Hawaii. You're living on a volcano, right? You can't stop earthquakes in California. You're living on a fault line. We can't stop hurricanes here. We live in a beautiful coast, you know? It sticks out in the middle of the Gulf. It's an amazing place to live. So be prepared. Let's use this as, hopefully as a word of caution for everyone. Let's not wait until hurricane whatever rolls down our steps to say, oh my God, I wish I had insurance. So being prepared. Now I'm in my pre-hurricane mode, so here we are. Make sure, number one, you get your policies in effect quickly. Flood policies take 30 days to get in effect. If you get your policy while knowing a hurricane's coming down the road, you probably are going to miss coverage. And if you're also going to want to make sure you get your regular policy looked at and updated as quickly as possible, you want to make sure you have your right coverages in place.
So going back to the renter's insurance really quick, the renter's insurance was already under the name of the person that I moved in with. Hmm. And then since then, we had moved into the townhome that we have at the moment. So okay. Because it's under her name, does this only apply to her or anyone that lives in the home?
It should apply to anyone that lives in the home. Again, we'll have to be specific on the policy, but typically that's how it'll read. Is it her? And because the named insured here, like typically you're going to want to have, like if you have a common law marriage, you have people living, dwelling together, the owner of the property of the policy, there's typically additional language for additional insured. And you want to look at that, and that's going to be something that's going to be on the policy face itself. And there's going to be a little area, it's going to say additional insured. And then you're also going to want to read the language too of who's covered. It's right in the front. So if you want to find out if you're covered under her policy, just pull out the jacket, take a look at it, and it will tell you specifically who is covered and who is not covered.
Got it. Thank you for the clarification. And we have Judy on the line, Judy in Pensacola. She's joining the program. Judy, welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Judy.
Thank you. Hello, good morning. I had a new roof put on about 2 weeks ago now, and I heard the guy that was selling me the roof at the time ask his boss about a water ice barrier or something that they put under the shingles on the house, and the guy said, no, I'm not on, you know. So he said not to do it. So anyway, then after the roof was on, the guy that sold me the roof said that they had just passed a new law or something like that to where I guess it would have been covered with my insurance to do it.
Yeah. So
you know anything about that?
I was just having a if what you're talking about, and I might have touched on it a program or two ago with Ruthie, but what just happened is that there are some new codes that went into effect just recently,
right,
specifically dealing with the type of underlayment and application to Florida homes. No longer, I mean, it's not just in the high wind velocity zone now. So these are Florida building codes that are now put into effect for throughout the state of Florida, and there's five different ways to apply this underlayment. One of them specifically is going to be an ice and water barrier shield. Yes. Now, hopefully they put down some type of underlayment, and the code is so new, it's so brand new that most people don't know about it. But unfortunately, that's just what happens, and we just came off a hurricane season, and if you're in the area, I mean, your roof was probably replaced because of the hurricane, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, more than likely they did it to the code that was in the transition period right into effect. But take, however, like this is one of the things that I negotiate for the insurer that we represent, is that we speak. That's our job to know these things. And so one of the last claims that I was just on in Pensacola, I was explaining to the adjuster, the field adjuster, these are the new codes, and I printed them out the sheet. I handed them all the sheet. I emailed them actually with all five different ways of doing it. And I said, hey, pass this on to your upper management because this is new Florida building code. And this was a few weeks ago. So long story short, I get a call last week. And what happens is that the adjuster said, well, listen, I handed him that sheet, and I can't put that, he didn't say I can't put it on my estimate. In his nice words, he said, basically he's not going to be allowed to put it on his estimate because they're not going to approve it for him. So, and the sad thing is, he said, you're going to have to take it up with them. So that's what he means. He's going to say he's going to do the best part in his field report to put it in. However, he's been told from management, nope, don't even write the code. So this is being something that's being passed down, okay, even for management right now. No, don't even write the new code. Make them ask for it. Well, that's not fair. It's not right. And it's not reasonable. That's not kosher, so to speak. If information's out there and people know about it, they need to follow what's happening. It's very important. So your roofer, I mean, the ice and water shield, that is something that's called ordinance and law that's inside of your insurance policy. If you don't ask for those things, you're not going to get them. And it's just like with the insurance. They're going to go back with just the bare bones unless you actually force them to honor the rest of the policy and explain that to them. So to answer your question, in a huge circuitous route, unfortunately, I mean, in a good situation, as long as the roofer's good and you got 30-pound felt on there, I mean, should you have some type of seam tape on it? Absolutely, there should be. But however, are they following the code more than likely to what was there right at the time? Yes. Unless you're going to ask them to come rip your roof off.
They upgraded it. They upgraded it, the roof, to the, I can't even think of what it's called now, but it's different than what I had on there before. It is an upgrade.
Mm. Yeah, and that's something, if like depends on the market, because depends on the ordinance. Again, they allow for these upgrades to happen, because like take for example in a high wind velocity zone, or in the zones that we're in here, like 140 mile an hour winds, codes require different things, different applications. So anybody out there else listening, there are brand new codes that are in effect that need to be looked at for your roofing system to be put on. If your roofer doesn't know about it, if your neighbor doesn't know about it, if you see somebody getting a roof in your neighborhood, you might want to stop and say, hey, listen, do you know there's some new codes in effect that take place that allow you to have the roof put back in a condition that's going to hopefully withstand some greater wind forces and speeds, and the insurance companies are required to pay them as long as the policy is there. So make sure people know these things. Thanks for calling in. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Judy.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Bye.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
And just a reminder to our listeners, 437-1620, 437-1620, that's the number to call or text if you want to join in on the program.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And I'm Matthew Vanderford from Claimology. We're an insurance adjusting schoolhouse. You can always reach us at 850-684-4794. Again, that's 850-684-4794. You can call and reach one of us there. Ask us any question. We're more than happy to be part of the community, even if we never represent you. You'd be surprised. I get phone calls sometimes from people that are already involved with public adjusters, and I'll get a phone call and they'll ask questions, and that's okay. You ask questions. Hopefully your public adjuster should be helping you. Or even if you're doing it yourself, if you're doing your own claim and you're handling it yourself and you just want some help and some advice to say, hey, am I doing it the right way? Give us a call. We'll try to help you out. We'd rather point you in the right direction.
And now we have Larry on the line. Larry in Pensacola, welcome to the program. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Larry, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much. And I just did turn it on, and I just caught the end of it, but and it's roofing. It's a question. I guess you made a comment that kind of confused me, that I thought, you know, the adjuster came out, looked at the roof, knew what you had, submitted it, and the insurance had to cover equal to the existing roof, which I have ice shield, but I shouldn't have to ask for that because it's there. They have to replace that.
Correct. You
were. But I kind of got the impression, though, that no, you got to dig in there and you got to kind of push them to do that.
Well, that's to bring it up to code. So there's a section in your policy. You're exactly right. The policy itself is to bring you back to pre-loss conditions. So if you already have a pre-existing ice and water shield, they're supposed to put the ice and water shield on there.
Okay.
The thing that they're supposed to consider, though, which they can consider now, is that, okay, you have ice and water shield. However, there are now four additional ways to put code up to code, which is you can use you're actually now requiring two 30-layer-pound felts with an actual seam tape. I mean, so there's a lot, and plus two different types of applications. So there's different ways that they can put that on there. So to answer your question specifically and to give you peace of mind, yes, if you already have an ice and water shield barrier on there, and you have an insurance policy to bring you back to pre-loss condition, they're going to put the same thing back on. But if you don't have it, let's just say you have traditional 30-pound felt, and the code now says you have to put an ice and water shield on there, or you have to do it with two layers of 30-pound felt tape and with seam tape. You now, if you don't know that, they're not going to offer that to you. That's called ordinance and law.
Let me ask this. I know the time, and I appreciate you guys. And the first estimate I got, and the adjuster said you need a roof. And the first estimate I got was about $4,000 below the cheapest roofer in Pensacola. And I had kind of a hard time understanding that. I can't believe that the adjusters don't know cost of labor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in Pensacola. And, you know, they look at, I had four different estimates, and I don't think all four of the roofers were telling the story trying to balloon the cost or anything like that. I mean, I know supplies are short and on and on and on. Maybe even crews are short, but why would a insurance low, give you low, and then you kind of have to figure it out and go out and they wanted a detail of my insurance, and I got an itemized detail of exactly what their costs were. Then I added the ice shield, and the ice shield, they just failed to put it on there. But anyway, The adjuster said, yeah, you've got it. And I had documentation that's on my roof. I mean, the last roof I had. But and it's been September, and here it is, middle of January, and I don't have a roof. I mean, I don't even have a – I mean, I don't mind getting in line. I'm not leaking, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But I'm not even in line yet because my insurance company has beaten me to death with, okay, tell us what code this is. I mean, just kind of weird stuff. And but I guess, and I'm not moaning. I know you can't answer that question, but it makes it kind of difficult to – and I thought I had a good insurance company. But, I mean, but see, they're using a third party. See, the third party's doing all this stuff. It's not my insurance company. Anyway, let me shut up and give you a chance to respond.
No, Larry, thank you so much, because your firsthand experience about what people are going through right now. I mean, this is what we're trying to talk about right now. And Larry's like, I'm trying to do my job. I have no idea. They're asking me. They're peppering me with all these questions. Really, it's their job to understand this, because they are supposed to be adjusters. They are supposed to be adjusting the loss. The fact that they don't adjust the loss and then ask the homeowner to adjust the loss is really not kind of cool, you know, because if a homeowner doesn't know, what don't they know? However, that's what the insurance companies have built their practice around. This is what they do. And it's not because of any other reason, I believe, than it's just a strategy that they have put together as a business plan and a business model to hold on to more resources for as long as possible while being able to keep their ratings within this, with the states that they have, right? To keep their good ratings, to make sure that they have enough money so that way they can show it to the states that they're writing policies for, that they have enough money to cover disasters. Now, what does that mean? Over the many, 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 many years in the 80s and 90s, back in the 90s, what ended up happening is that they started to dip in. It became a business model to start dipping into the premium monies collected and no longer just using the profits that they gained from those premiums on interest and their investments. That's what they gained their money from. They used to take premium money and invest it, and those investments had returns. When those returns no longer became big enough and they wanted to get a larger return, they started dipping into the premium monies. And that's where the development of anti-fraud really comes into play. And that's why they have all of these strategies that they, that's what I mean, the policies are written and the attorneys are the insurance machine is a machine designed to keep money together, to keep it in their pockets. It's just what it's designed to do. And so we as the good people need to help people understand what they're entitled to receive. And so that's why I'm so grateful, Larry, for you actually coming on the show and talking about it, because that's why I exist. That's why I do what I do. I'm a public adjuster because I've seen too many times firsthand and been involved with experiences and stories just like Larry, where they're still fighting with their insurance company a year and a half, 2 years, sometimes 3 years after a hurricane. It's horrible. So if anybody has any questions, please call them and we'll try to help you out. Hope that helps, Larry.
Yeah, Larry, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it, of course. And we do have about a minute left. Anything else we wanted to get out there before we call it a day?
Yes. This is not a beat up the insurance company session. This is an I love insurance, and I love insurance companies, because here's the deal. Without insurance, insurance is a utopian idea. People taking care of other people. So with that mindset involved, just be mindful that all the people that you talk to are human beings working inside of an insurance machine. Be mindful of them. Know that they're real people too. They have feelings. And we're all just people trying to get through this whole thing called life together. And hopefully we get to elevate ourselves to the mechanism of insurance. That's my goal. My goal is to help elevate everybody here. And we do it in a great fashion, in a way that helps people truly recover from when they've suffered damage. So thanks for having me on.
Real quick, if I want to learn more about you or get a hold of you, what can I call? Where can I go to look you up?
www.insuranceadjusterschoolhouse.com, 850-684-4794.
All right, Matthew, as always, it's always good doing a show with you. We appreciate the time. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for having me on.